Let's turn in our Bibles to Romans 14 and 12, and then we'll be going to 1 Kings 22, Romans 14. Book of Romans, chapter 14, verse 12, very sobering scripture here. It says, "So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Then in 1 Kings chapter 22, if you would turn with me there in your Bibles, it says in verse 1, "And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, There is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, Let not the king say so. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, Hasten hither Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And then we'll skip down to save some time. In verse 13, and the messenger that was going to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, Behold, now the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. And Micaiah said, As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. And we'll move on down to verse 17. Micaiah is before the king in verse 17, and he said, And I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, These have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, Did not I tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me, but evil? Verse 24, But Zedekiah, the son of Shinnah, went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, Which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? And Micaiah said, Behold, thou shalt see it in that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. And the king of Israel said, Take Micaiah and carry him back unto Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, Thus saith the king, Put this fellow in prison, and feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction, till I come in peace. And Micaiah said, If thou return it all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. And he said, Hearken, O people, every one of you. I sure you understand that we have a personal Savior and a personal salvation. And our relationship to Jesus must be on a personal basis. We not only must be able to come and worship the Lord with congregations like this, but we must be able to serve the Lord on an individual basis. Amen? So I want to preach today on a solo performance. A solo performance. There's a story told of an emperor of China who had a vast orchestra. He decided to honor each performer in his orchestra by bringing them one by one into the palace and giving them a meal and let them give a solo performance. One by one he brought them in and they prayed for royalty. But one day he called for a certain flute player who had been in his orchestra several years and give him an appointment of a time that he was to appear. When his day came, he sent a message by messengers that he could not come because he was very sick. They gave him 1 year reprieve. Then his time came again when he was to come before this emperor and eat a meal and give a solo performance. He still did not come. So they sent messengers after him, and sorry to say, when they arrived to where this man was at, he had committed suicide, and he left this suicide note. The reason I did not come and play in the palace is I have one major problem. I do not know how to play the flute, my instrument. He knew how to place it. He knew how to, his place to sit in the orchestra with the other musicians. He knew how to place the flute to his lips. He knew how to hold his hands on the keys. He knew how to move his body with body actions with the other musicians. He could follow the maestro. But on further investigation, they found that his flute had been stuffed with paper and there was never no music coming out of his flute. He was called upon to give a solo performance. He looked good with the orchestra. He looked good with all of them around him. But he could not play the flute. And I'm glad we're all here today. I love fellowship meetings and camp meetings, special meetings when we all come together. Also gathered with us here today is an invisible, innumerable company of angels. And of course, Jesus Christ, the member of the triune Godhead, is here also. And it's easy for us to come together here and sing together, pray together, worship together, and preach together. But how many of those that were singing a little while ago in our choir service, if you was called upon to come up here and give a solo performance, how many could get up here and sing that solo? Now the Lord loves us when we come together and in one accord we lift up our voices together and we sing and pray and worship and preach. But there comes a time in our lives, if we're true Christians, when the Lord will call for a solo performance. He will say, I want to hear you sing praises to me. I want to hear you pray. I want to hear you preach. I want to hear you praise and worship all by yourself. There has to be something in us that our salvation has affected us as individuals. I repeat once again, this is a personal salvation. In our text today, Jehoshaphat, the righteous king of Judah, made a mistake and he made an affinity with that wicked king Ahab. Ahab, the king of Israel, who was very wicked. The Bible said there was none like unto Ahab, which did do evil in the sight of the Lord, which his wife Jezebel stirred up. Jehoshaphat was about to make a big mistake. Before he even considered the odds, Jehoshaphat said, when Ahab invited him to join him in battle, he said, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses. But then something hit him in the mind, and he said, before we go out to battle, Jehoshaphat says, I would like to hear from the Lord. So Ahab says, so you want to hear from the Lord? Fine, I've got 400 prophets. So he brought 400 of the prophets before Jehoshaphat. And when they came, hear what happened. They all had the same song. They all sang the same tune. They all said, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper. The Lord shall deliver your enemies into the king's hands. But Jehoshaphat wasn't quite pleased with that answer. He was not satisfied with the prophecy of Ahab's prophets. And he said, is there not yet a prophet of the Lord here? Is there not another prophet that we can inquire of the Lord? And at his hand, and Ahab said, there is yet one man, Micaiah by name. He's in prison, but I despise him because he never prophesies good concerning me, but evil. So they went to get Micaiah from the prison. Micaiah was called, and those that went after him said, now we've got to key you in so you can sing the same key, so you can preach the same message, so you can tell what all those other prophets have said. You've got to know that they have all prophesied good. So let thy words be like the words of one of the other prophets. Let those words speak and let them be good. But somewhere Micaiah had learned to perform all alone. Somewhere he had learned to be his own man. Somewhere he had learned not to be influenced by the majority. And Micaiah said, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. He said, I saw all Israel scattered on the hills as sheep without a shepherd. And Ahab says, back to prison with Micaiah. I told you he couldn't say anything good. He always prophesied evil. Feed him bread and water of affliction until I return in peace. But hear what Micaiah said. If you come back in peace, the Lord hath not spoken unto me. And Ahab was slain on the battlefield. Hear what I want to preach to you today. Every preacher, and especially every young preacher, and every Christian needs to know how to possess enough of the boldness of God and have an individual personal experience with Christ that they can operate solo if they have to. Oh, there's many that say, I believe in holiness. They'll come to a meeting like this and they'll say, amen, preacher. And they might even preach a little holiness in a meeting like this. But you put them out where they're all by themselves. Put them out in that worldly church. Oh, when they're around holiness people, holiness, 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 holiness. But you put them out all by themselves in that worldly place and say, okay, preacher, do you really believe what you said you believe? I want to hear you preach. Let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters. I love to be with you. And these men have given me all the liberty I need to preach whatever I desire to preach. But I am determined to preach the word of God if I have to preach it all alone, for I am persuaded that it is the only plan given by God for men to be saved. I find in the Bible there were many of those, and I'm going to hurry, but there were many of those who could never perform alone. Lot, for instance, as long as he was with his uncle Abraham, he could make it on the road of righteousness. He knew how to kneel at Abraham's altar that Abraham built. He knew how to pray to the God of Abraham. But Lot had a major problem. He knew how to walk with a man who walked with God, but he never had learned to walk with God himself. You hear what I'm telling you? He knew how to kneel at Abraham's altar, but he never had learned how to make his own altar. Oh, yes, and when Lot was called upon to make a choice between the well-watered plains that led to the cities of Sodom or the high mountains, Abraham did not help him make that choice, and he made a very devastating choice and pitched his tent towards Sodom, which was a terrible mistake. Oh, hear me tonight or today. We need young people as well as older people who are determined that they know what they believe. And you put them out there all by themselves. They're the same preaching out there as they are here at Bristow. They have just as much of the power and just as much of the spirit in their lives here as they have out there. Give us men and women who know Jesus on a one-by-one basis, who are determined that they have their own experience with the Lord. The Lord has blessed me a lot in the last few years in opening many doors in many countries. Lots of times I have to go there solo. Oh, yes. And you can't just be a holiness man around holiness people. You've got to be a holiness man among those that don't believe in holiness. You have to learn how to preach whenever there's women sitting out there with short hair and earrings on and makeup on, and some of their eyes are red and blue and green and pink and purple. You've got to know how to preach holiness. Some time ago, a year ago this last month, May, I preached a crusade in Mexico City for the Pentecostals, not oneness, but the Pentecostals of Mexico City. In Mexico City, we had a worldly church, but God gave us favor, and there's quite a few people saved, and there's things accomplished. The bishop of that entire group of people that's all over Mexico, I didn't even know they existed. They are not charismatics, but they are worldly. He was there, and he invited me to preach their annual convention last 16th of May in Pachuca, Hidalgo, Mexico, which is right out of Mexico City. So I said, I don't know. I'll pray 30 days, and I'll let you know. He gave me a fax number. After praying 30 days, I said, I'll come if I can bring my own interpreter. Because, you know, a lot of these guys, when you get to preaching holiness, I mean, they'll go with you for a while, but when you really get to preaching holiness, they have a way, you know, almost hitting the nail right on the head, like some of our preachers, who almost, by the time you think they're going to really drive it all the way home, they have a cunning way of swerving around it. Boy, it's getting quiet here now. He said, all right, we have interpreters, but you can bring your own interpreter. So everything was going smooth. Then he sent me this that I hold in my hand. Brother, over here, Brother Sumners can read Spanish real well, and so can Sister Martha Betty. But I found out they had Brother Don Rich preaching the afternoon services and the night services. And they had Mr. Jimmy Swaggart preaching the day services. So I thought, Lord, I can't hook up with Mr. Swaggart down there. So I started trying to get out of it. Brothers down at Brother Ryan Ralston's, we started sending faxes. Boy, I just don't feel like coming. This man sent me back a fax and said, Brother Rich, I gave you 30 days to pray about this meeting. You sent me back confirmation after 30 days that you would come and preach this meeting. We already have all the advertisement, everything printed up. Now, you're either a man of your word or you're not a man of your word. So, man, I begin to bargain with this man. Because you see right here, I mean, I'm not lying to you. Jimmy Swaggart. Jimmy Swaggart. Don Rich. I finally talked this man in letting Mr. Swaggart preach the first 3 days and let me have the next 4 days. He said, well, you'll be having to preach twice a day. And every night I said, that's okay, I can do it. 3 times a day, sure I can do it. If you'll just let Mr. Swaggart have his part first and then let me come and have my part. Well, he agreed to that. And so they printed up this one, sent it to me. And I went down there, and you talk about people. Hey, they have more people in the balcony than they have here. Much more people in the balcony than we have here today. I mean, thousands of people there. And you talk about worldly. It was worldly. Mr. Swaggart had been there for his 3 days. They told me from their own lips that Mr. Swaggart's endeavor here was a complete failure. Except for one day when we let him perform down on the city square, and we put a grand piano up on a high platform, and we let him play and sing there. Now that fella can play and sing. And said he drew a large crowd. But as far as in the church, he didn't help us. Well, I didn't know what to do except just get out there and preach some holiness. So I opened up the first morning and I began to preach against sin and the world and worldliness that was robbing us of the power of the Holy Ghost. Not one time did I mention Mr. Swaggart, but I sure many of his people were there helping us. We was using his sound system. I mean, things were right there. There's cars parked around there, Jimmy Swaggart Ministries. But Don Rich was in the pulpit today on this particular day preaching holiness. Hear what I'm telling you. You do not have to back up from preaching it if you can back it up in the Word of God. That night when I preached, they estimated that there were over 100 sinners answered the call for salvation. I had Brother Carlos Guerra with me. Brother Shoecraft knows him well, and some of you others know him well. He was interpreting for me. So the next morning he said, Brother Rich, what are you going to preach today? I said, I'm preaching today on remove not the old landmarks which our fathers have set. And I began to give him some of my outline. He said, you preach that. He said, we both going to be leaving here. I said, don't preach that. I said, can't you change that? I said, Carlos, you're only here and only responsible for interpreting for me. You are not responsible for what I say. All you're responsible for is telling the people what I say. I will take full responsibility for all of my preaching. Are you listening to me? We started preaching that message. And lo and behold, women started taking them out of their ears and from around their necks and off of their fingers. And the old bishop got up crying and wanted to know if he could have the mic for a minute. I gave it to him. And he said, we have left the old landmarks, but I've got to lead this people back to holiness and back to righteousness and back to purity. It's easy to preach it here, but we need men and women who can operate solo. Hey, we need holiness more outside of the Bristol camp meeting and outside the four walls of our church than we ever needed it inside our churches. Let's go out and show the world that we have been changed by the power of God. Another king by the name of Saul in the Bible, 1 Samuel 17, a familiar story. Saul, King Saul, was a valiant man. He was a great commander in chief. He led his armies to great victories. I know you're wondering how that meeting came out. It came out with close to 400 souls saved, came out packed out. And they said the last night over 1,000 people outside that couldn't get in. Holiness is still right. Don't be afraid to preach it. Anyhow, King Saul had led his armies to great victories. They even wrote songs about King Saul and his victories and said, Saul has slain his thousands. No doubt about it, he was a valiant man. When fighting against the Philistines in the Valley of Elah, the battle has been set in array, and Saul is ready to lead his armies to great victory. But all of a sudden, the battle takes a new twist, and a giant by the name of Goliath comes out and sends out a challenge. He did not say, send me your armies. He did not say, send me your most skilled swordsmen. But he said, send me a man. This challenge is for one man. Send me a man. I believe immediately all eyes of King Saul's army fell upon Saul, for he stood head and shoulders above every other man. But the Bible said fear filled the heart of Saul, and it filled the heart of his men. And they were afraid, and for 40 mornings and evenings, this giant came out paralyzing the entire armies of Israel, saying, send me a man. Nobody willing to go. But then coming down a hill, pushing a little cart with cheese and breads,
comes a little shepherd boy by the name of David. And when he sees this giant, he said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" They said, "Wait a minute, David." He said, "I'll go fight him." They said, "Wait a minute, David. He's a man of war from his youth, and you're just a youth. You can't do that. He's just warning one man." He said, "I'll go because I have learned to perform solo. I know he's not asking for your army. He's asking for one man." Let me tell you, he said, "I was out there herding my father's sheep. There was no TV cameras there. There were no newsmen there. My father wasn't there. My mother wasn't there. My brother wasn't there. But out came a lion, and God was looking on. And when that lion took a lamb out of the flock, I rose up and delivered the lamb out of his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I slew that lion, and I slew that bear. I know how to go out there and fight all by myself. My Lord, give us some men and women that know how to fight all alone. There may be a day when you'll have to stand all by yourself." I was pastoring in Oroville, California. Brother Brown's been there. No, Brother Hudson. I was pastoring up there. Come here, Leon. Leon was just a baby. And we were up there working, trying to do a work for God. And my wife, bless her heart, we've moved, I think, 29 times since we've been married. Many have moved across states. But anyhow, we had to move to another house. And we moved into a house where no one had lived in for some time. And there were rats in that house. And there were mice in that house. And I just don't like rats. And so I went and got rat poison. It came in the form of a grain with dye on it. We put it out in places where we didn't think there's any possible way for any larger animals or children, anyone, get to it. But don't ever underestimate 3 or 4 year old boys. Huh? Up until this time, I'd always prayed for my children. God had healed them. God had raised them up. God had ministered to them. And they always depended on Daddy to pray for them. I was gone one day, and Leon got in behind all the pots and pans and all the cleaning agents and pulled that all out and got back there and got into the rat poison. And when his mother found him, he had on a white t-shirt. And that poison had purple dye. And that purple dye had ran all down his t-shirt where he'd chewed it. And the saliva had run down. And he was eating that rat poison. So Sister Rich ran and called where she thought I was at. No answer. She ran called a deacon. No answer. She called another deacon's house. And some more of the saints, no answer. And she looked at her little boy just eating deadly rat poison, and we knew it was real because we found dead rats. We knew it was potent. We had found dead rats. So she said, "Oh, my Lord, this is one time I've got to get a prayer through. This is one time you've got to answer my prayer. This is one time I've got to touch you." And she took that little boy up in her arms, and my wife is sitting right back there, prayed and asked God to heal. And Jesus became an antidote for that poison that was in his system. He never did get sick. He never did vomit. She cleaned him up. And we don't know exactly how God did it. We know God done the work. That afternoon when I rolled into the gate, Ramona was about 8 years old. She ran out to the gate and said, "Daddy, just wanted to tell you, Mama can pray for us just as good as you can." Said Leon got in the rat poison, and Mama prayed, and he didn't even get sick. Hey, listen to me. There'll be a day in your life like Elisha of old. Elijah will be gone. The man will be lying there. The River of Jordan will be there. Can you operate all by yourself? Holy, holy, holy. Gotta watch here. I'm gonna preach over there. Preach a little bit longer, all right? Hallelujah. Potiphar had a wife. He brought in a Hebrew by the name of Joseph. He brought him from the auspices and the governing hand of his father. Brought him down there captive. Brought him in his house and made him a ruler and bookkeeper over all that he had. Only withheld one thing from him, and that was his wife. His wife tempted Joseph day by day. One day the men of the house left, and she said to Joseph, she said, come and lie with me. The good man of the house is gone, and there's nobody else in the house but just you and I. Come on, Joseph, no one's going to ever know. But Joseph knew how to live holy without anybody's eyes watching him. He said, how can I do this great evil and sin against my God? She took him by the coat, but he fled and left his garment in her hands. I know a lot of preachers that wish they would have left their garment and ran. He retained his integrity. Oh, yes, he lost his coat, but he retained his integrity. Hear what I'm telling you today. We need people who can live holy, separated, when they're all alone. Young men, we don't have to send a delegation with to keep them straight. Brother Ralph, we need men that we can put out there in Germany, Albania, places I've been this year, and preach the word, knowing that they're going to preach it right. Oh, hallelujah. Let me hurry here. You know, Daniel was carried a captive to Babylon in Daniel 1 and 8. But when Daniel got down there in Babylon, out of the land of the Hebrews, there were many temptations. And the king come by with wine, and the king's servants with wine, and offered them meat and wine that they had offered to idols. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor the wine that he drank. And when he refused and proved that they were fair, he influenced Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He was an influence over those other young Hebrews. And brethren, I may not preach much more, I don't know, but I hope that I have influenced you to stand for truth, to stand for right, to stand for purity. Daniel was an influence over Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So when Nebuchadnezzar made a great image in the plain of Dura and commanded that the whole kingdom bow down, there were three that refused. They had been influenced by Daniel. Notice, there were three. Where was Daniel? I believe God had Daniel somewhere else, because God wanted to see how they would do without Pastor Daniel looking over their shoulder. A lot of folks do good as long as pastors looking over their shoulder. But Leon, hallelujah, there was a day when Dad kept a close rein on you, son. There was a day when I wasn't I'm a little afraid of him now. There's a day when I didn't mind taking my belt off and correcting this boy. Oh, yes, he'll tell you that's the truth. There was a days when I tried my best to keep him in line, but there came a day when he had to go out and live for God all by himself. There came a day he had to go out and preach, if he was called to preach, preach the word all by himself. Hey, listen, it's a shame that pastor has to look over his shoulder at some who claim to be holiness. Boys and girls, they're afraid to let you go to camp, afraid to let you get out of their sight, afraid something will happen. Get you an experience where you can operate solo. Now let me tell every one of you as I close today, every one of us must give an account of himself to God. You must be born again for yourself. My son, as much as I love him, he's making a great preacher, outstanding preacher. As much as I love him, I could not be born again for him. I don't mind giving him a few of my notes. Now I'm using some of his. Hallelujah. I don't mind giving him some of my stuff. Oh, no, that's my son. But he's got to preach. He's got to get his own anointing. It's all right to milk somebody else's cow, but you got to learn to churn your own butter. You got to learn to preach. You got to learn to stand when you're all alone. I'm going to tell this, and I'm going to try to close here. But we're headed toward the judgment. And every one of us, mother, must give an account of ourselves to God. Mama can't answer for you. Daddy can't answer for you. Pastor can't answer for you. You must answer all for yourself. And Brother Morris Brown, we used to sing that old song, you've got to walk that lonesome valley. You got to go there all by yourself. Well, the Bible said, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or evil. I was preaching this camp meeting one year. I walked back in the back of the building. As I was giving my altar call, I saw a young man weeping under conviction. I invited that young man to the altar, and he turned to the boy next to him. He said, will you go with me? I said, no. I said, son, come on. He was crying under conviction, shaking. He said, if he'll go with me down there, I'll go. This other boy would not go. And this young man refused to come. He may lose his soul because he could not walk the aisle all by himself. Huh? You hear me? He may lose his soul because he would not bow all by himself. Hear me as I shut this thing down. Sister Rich and I was praying in our living room one night. And I was praying, Lord, I thank you that you've given me favor with so many good people. And I don't have to even look for a place to preach. I have more places to preach than I can ever get to. Now, Lord, if you had opened the door for me in some of these worldly places, I'll go and preach holiness. Now, I didn't know God was listening so close, but he was listening. I said, I thank you that I don't have to look for a place to preach. Now, if you'll just open the door, I will go. We've been praying. Finally, Sister Rich, I think she went on to bed, and I was in there just meditating and praying. The phone rang. It's a preacher from another state, long ways from this state. He said, Brother Rich, we got a hold of one of your tapes from Brother C.M. Butler in Savannah, Georgia, and our board just finished listening to it. And we have voted to have you come and preach our camp. So I said, who are you? Never heard of that group before, never heard of those people before, never heard of that man before. And he said, I've been out in your state. So I spent about 2 years there. And I said, where was you at? Here in Oklahoma. And he said, well, I went up there to Rhema Bible College for 2 years up there with Dr. Kenneth Hagin. Yeah, mm-hmm. I said, well, let me pray about this. I'll take your phone number and I'll pray about it. If I feel like coming, I'll let you know. I no sooner hung up that phone till God said, you told me you would do it. You would go. Picked up the phone, called him back. I think Maggie thought that was the shortest prayer anybody ever prayed about a camp meeting. I picked up the phone, called him. I said, yes, sir, I will be there. Well, usually I'm prepared for anything we see or hear. But I was not prepared for this. Right back there is my wife's a witness. When we came on that campgrounds, I was not prepared. My wife had on a dress. Other women in pantsuits. And some of them in shorts. The song leader, hair about long as mine here. Big red ear bobs on. And all of these things. Hey, it's all right to preach like this, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
I mean, that's the kind of stuff that was there. And if we don't keep preaching like this, we'll have that kind of stuff right here.
All right.
You hear me? So, I walked in. Boy, they started song service. You talk about talent, big crowd. You talk about music. They had it. They had talent. They had all of the latest equipment and musical instruments. And here this lady's up there in shorts. leading the song, sir. I have a hard time hooking up with that. I don't care what those modernistics say. Just don't look at the outward appearance. Just look at the heart. I have a hard time hooking up with stuff like that. So they finally got the service over my hands. I preached the way the man in charge, the chairman, got around my message. He got me, said, "We're a big body. The body of Christ is large. And this is Brother Rich's small part of the body, preaching holiness." All right. I made it pretty good the next night and next day. But I couldn't hardly take it when preachers' wives were coming in shorts and halters to the day services. I couldn't hardly take it. And my wife will tell you I'm telling the truth. And the cooks down in the cafeteria were cooking in shorts. Well, that's hard to take for a holiness preacher. So that next night, the big buses rolled in there. And they had all different nationalities, races, black, white, Hispanics. They had them in those buses, bring them to the meeting, and that's fine. And everything was going good. And this black brother was up there with this white sister, and they were singing and leading the song service, and I was trying to get in. Boy, they're singing, "Feeling so much better since I laid my burdens down," and I get right in there with them. Boy, I was bouncing, trying to do my best, you know, because I was wanting them to get with me when I got up there to preach. And so I was just getting in there, you know, trying to do my best with them. And I was doing good, you know, "Feeling so much better since I laid my burdens down, feeling just like dancing." And that black brother with those two-tone shoes, white and black, he could do exactly what he said. He got out there and danced, and brother, he could do it. And I'm still okay. But when he said, "I'm feeling just like hugging since I laid my burdens down," and he embraced this woman, and the MC came to the platform, to the pulpit, and said, "Everyone get them a partner out there now, and let's dance in the spirit as we sing this song." Brother, I found out I could perform solo. Something inside of me rose up, Brother Ralph Cox, and said, "You know this is not right. You know this is not right." Boy, people were dancing. Them older men was picking out young girls, you know. If you're going to live after the flesh, that's the way to go. Huh? Oh, yeah. That's right. I mean, they were going that direction. Boy, here I was. "Lord, let me go now. Please shut them down, Lord. Please make them quieten down a little bit so I can get in there and preach." God said, "Just sit down. You'll get your chance here. You're going to get your opportunity." So I tried to relax, but boy, it's hard to relax in that atmosphere. When they finally turned it to me, I got up and I began to preach about the sensitivity of the flesh and how dangerous it is for those of opposite sex to embrace each other and how weak the flesh is. And I said, "The Bible said marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." I said, "You do not have to commit the very act to commit adultery. If you look on a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery with her in your heart already." I said, "Right here in this service tonight, while you were dancing with those of opposite sex, there was many cases of adultery committed right here tonight." That's when you got to learn to operate solo. Now, as an old white-headed preacher, I can tell you how to do it. You know what happened? Sinners started coming to the altar. When I got through preaching, backsliders started coming. The altar started being wet with tears. And here come the old bishop around. And he told a bunch of young girls there who had makeup that looked better and it looked all night long. They had hot tears cutting trails down through it. Boy, it looked good to me when those tears started running down and cutting trails through it. And as they prayed, here come the bishop. Sister Rich was over there praying with them, trying to get these young girls to repent, get right with God. This bishop said, "I want every one of you girls, get up on your feet. Lift your hands and praise the Lord." Said, "Salvation is not a sad occasion. It's a joyous occasion." Said, "Isn't that right, Brother Rich?" "Sir, My Bible says godly sorrow worketh repentance. Let's let these girls weep their way through to Calvary. And then when they get up and stand on their feet, they will have joy in their hearts. Oh yes, and out of their souls will flow joy. Well, I was called into the board that night. Whole board called me in. Said, now we don't want no trouble with you, Brother Rich. We didn't know you preached like this. We asked you to get your wife and get your things and move on. I said, well, I would if it wouldn't be for lying. And they said, lying? I said, yeah, we got right here on these handbills. I'll be here through Friday night. And people got these stay all over. And I said, we're going to be lying to the public if we don't go ahead and go through Friday night. And they said, well, they decided to try another approach. Said, we had allotted so much money for you each night in our budget to preach this meeting. And the way you're preaching, we doubt if you get $50 for the whole camp meeting. I said, boys, if you think you could give me $50, I'd be glad to stay for $50. Y'all think you can give me that much? I'll stay and preach for you. Huh? Hallelujah. Hey, don't you ever put a price on your message. Don't you ever put a price on your ministry. Don't you ever sell out. Learn to operate just between you and God. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Finally, one older gentleman said, brethren, I've heard this preached before. This is not new to me. Let's let Brother Rich stay. And let me stay. I kept preaching. One of their best preachers on the last day of the meeting. He got up, walked up to the bishop, took out his billfold, and said, I'm turning in my credentials. You folks have had me deceived all this time. But I find out we have nothing but deception here. I'm going with Brother Rich in the holiness way. When he did that, there were others came up and turned in their credentials. The last night of that, well, a rich man there said, I heard that they wasn't going to pay you. They never did say they wasn't going to pay me. They just said I might not get the $50. I said, no, they didn't say that. He said, we heard that. I said, no, nobody said they wasn't going to pay me. He said, well, I just want you to know I got money. Go ahead and preach. I got you covered. God always has somebody that has you covered. Last night that meeting, they called me in that board. They said, we don't know where all this money's come from. We're not only going to be able to give you what we said we would give you in our budget, but we're going to be able to give you a bonus on top of that, a bonus offering. But we're telling you right now, you will never come back. I said, that's all right. At least you heard the truth one time. Hallelujah. At least you heard the truth one time. They gave me a big offering. I started out, and this rich man said, hey, did they pay you? And I said, they did. They paid me well. He said, well, here's another nickel to go with it, and gave me five $100 bills on top of that. And I'm still preaching holiness, and I still know how to operate solo. Praise God. Let us stand to our feet and give God praise. Let's ask God to give us a kind of experience where we can do it all by ourselves. Hallelujah.